Right now, we want to say hi to Georgia, who is an expert on elephants. Hi, Georgia.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me on short notice. I've been reading about you, and have you always had a great interest in elephants?
Well, it kind of developed over the years, I would say. Mm-hmm. I actually had a past life experience many years ago in which I was raised by elephants, and I didn't know what it meant. It was just out of the blue. But then years later, when I got my dog, and then I became more and more involved with animals, and then I became involved with elephants, and I went to Kenya, I got more connected with that. And I adopted several baby elephants, and I've spent a lot of time over there with elephants. So I feel like I know quite a bit about them, and I love them a lot.
Yeah, everybody likes elephants, I believe. You know, they just seem to be peaceful. When you say you had a past life experience, was that under hypnosis, or how did that happen?
Yeah, it was like a light hypnosis. I wasn't trying to have a past life experience. It was called NLP, neuro-linguistic programming.
Mm-hmm.
And the practitioner put me into a relaxed state, and he said, okay, well, we're going to go back in time, and then your little pinky will rise up when we get to the year, because I was having an issue with men at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, he said, maybe we'll see where this issue started. So it went back, and he says, when you get to the right age, your little pinky will pop up. So he took me down through the years, my 20s, teens, 10s, nothing happened. Then he went 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then he said 0. And my finger popped up, and I jumped up, and I had this very emotional, visual experience where I was running through the jungle, and my mother was killed by an elephant hunter, and I was found by a herd of elephants and raised by the elephants, and it was like it was happening right there in the room.
Oh, and that's
crazy.
And you got out of that, and you had an affection for elephants for sure, because they were. That kind of brought you up. Did it help you with the original issue about being more comfortable with men?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, I guess if my mother was killed by an elephant hunter, that would make me dislike men.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
actually, for a long time, I thought it was very interesting and amazing, but I didn't connect it to my real life. At that time, I was an actress. I had just moved to California, and I was doing a lot of different things, but it didn't have to do with animals.
Well, it's interesting. I have read in the past a lot of things about elephants that people don't realize. Their instincts, and in fact, you have the book called Terriers in the Jungle. Tell us something about elephants that we may not know.
Well, did you know an elephant's brain is bigger? A baby elephant's brain is bigger than a whole human baby. And they're a very sensitive kind, and they help create our universe and our Earth as we know it today, because, you know, they were on Earth a lot longer than humans. And because of their gigantic size and their poor digestion, they walk a lot, they eat plants and trees, and then they poop a lot. Mm-hmm. And their poop actually creates forests and lots of new growth and habitats for other people, for other animals and people. And so they're very connected to the earth, much more than humans are. And so, you know, we should respect them and allow them to live. People are still trophy hunting them and poaching them, and it breaks my heart, because they are some of the smartest and kindest animals who have also shaped our Earth. They were forest elephants were recently studied by the International Monetary Fund, and because a forest elephant, when he goes into the forest, he breaks down the little growth, and it allows the big trees to grow bigger, and it allows a pathway for other animals, but it also increases the carbon capture quality of the forest. And so in that sense, because in today's world we're spending money to change the climate trajectory, elephants are worth millions of dollars if they would appreciate them for what they're actually already doing for that.
Isn't there, Georgia, a law? Well, it's a law not to mess with the elephants anymore. You could really get a sentence for that?
Well, I can talk more about African than Asian elephants, but in Kenya, Kenya is the only country in Africa that does not allow any trophy hunting. Unfortunately, the other countries, they consider it part of their economy, that they have to raise money for themselves and their poor communities, so they allow the killing of their wild animals, and it's their most precious resource. An elephant and a wild animal is also worth millions of dollars to the tourist industry, because a lot of people go over to look at them. So they're just shooting themselves in the foot, really, and they're also shooting the whole world in the foot when they kill elephants and other big animals.
Of course, there are these fools that
when they take them out to zoos and circuses, it's the same. They live a life of torture, and they're taken away from their habitats and their families and everything that they know. And it's the most sad thing that humans do. And we're trying to get a new precedences in the law. There's an organization called the Non-Human Rights Project, and there's a case right now in New York to try to get Happy the Elephant to have more human rights. She's in the Bronx Zoo by herself for 40 years, and they want to put her in a sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And so, but if this passes, it will help all elephants.
Now, you said you had some baby elephants. What happened when they grew up?
Oh, they go back to the wild. They're in Kenya. They have a wonderful program there where they rescue babies whose mothers have been killed in some way or lost. They know how to raise them with lots of, they figured out a formula, milk formula. They give it to them every 3 hours. They put them in together with the other babies, and the babies always are happy to meet a new baby elephant. And then they're right at the edge of the Nairobi National Forest. They take them out just so they can learn how to forage in the trees every day. And they have caretakers who watch them 24/7. But then as they get a few years older, like around 2 or 3, they take them out into the deeper wild. In the middle of the jungle, they also have outposts. And they still have a few caretakers, not as much. They still have the milk, not as much. But the elephants start to mingle with the wild elephants. And eventually, they go back into the wild. And and now, the wonderful thing about the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust is they've had over 150 elephants who went back into the wild, and then they came back again to show them their babies when they had a baby elephant.
I have heard stories like that, and that's fascinating. So they're like other pets. They get very attached to you?
Well, they could get attached. That's why they don't allow just one caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
They switch around because they don't want them to get too attached when they're babies. You know, but as they get older and they meet older elephants, they don't have those attachments. But they try not to get them too attached to any one particular person.
Because they can. They can. So is it basically they, you know, we always hear they eat peanuts. Is that basically their favorite dish? Or
no, peanuts is something they give them in the circus.
Oh, okay.
There aren't any peanuts that I know of in Kenya. I'm more familiar with Kenya than anywhere because I've been there like 8 times. I lived there for 2 years. They eat all kinds of fruits, vegetables, greens, leaves. Peanuts is just, that's the human thing, I think.
Yeah. You always
Dumbo
hear the peanut.
And the elephant and all that.
Of course, yeah. And of course, all elephants have primarily the same ears, not like Dumbo. So, this is great. I love elephants, and I never hear of an elephant, I'm sure it's happened, that'll go after a person and try to hurt them?
In general, no, unless they feel very threatened,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Or if the bull elephants, the males, they go into musk occasionally, and that's when they're breeding time. And at that time, their testosterone goes way high, so you have to kind of watch out if you run into one in the wild.
I see. Right. They should put a little note or something so we'll know. This is now your book, Terriers in the Jungle. Tell us about it.
Well, I love elephants so much, and I had been over there and written articles about them. But then the last time I was there on safari as a tourist and a writer, I decided I wanted to live there. And I talked to my husband. He's also a writer. And he agreed that he would go live there with me, and I'd see what I could do for elephants. So we moved to Kenya in 2018, and we had to bring our two rescue dogs with us because we didn't know how long we were going to be there. So we brought our two little dogs with us, and we had a lot of adventures over there.
I can imagine.
And so did the dogs. And I was realizing the dogs, they were meeting wildlife, and they were having a lot of adventures. And so I started writing them down, and then eventually it turned into a novel, Terriers in the Jungle, spoken by my two dogs. It's their narration.
Oh, really? Okay. That's a different slant. Now, do elephants, do they fight with other animals? It seems like we don't generally see that.
No, they're the most peaceful animal. They're very peaceful. They only fight occasionally, you know, like I said, with the male, when the male's in musk.
Yeah.
He could possibly have a competitive fight with another male. But in general, no, they don't. They don't go after other animals or people.
So if a lion walked by an elephant, the lion would go, huh? Not a big deal?
No, well, it depends, huh? The lions like to try to catch the baby elephants.
Oh.
But of course, the big elephants are very protective of them, and they generally can scare them away. Now, the lions are very clever, and they get a whole team together when they go hunting. They might have, like, six or eight huntresses going after one. And so every once in a great while, they succeed. But in general, the elephants can scare them away from the baby.
Georgia, how can we protect elephants from extinction? What can we do? I mean, so many people care about the animals, and
we do. I know. Well, don't go to zoos and circuses, because taking those animals out of the wild is part of the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, and make laws that shut down. That's how we shut down Ringling Brothers years ago. We used to protest every time they came to town. And a lot of people started doing that all over the country. So then they formed local ordinances so that the Ringling was not welcome in their town. And so a lot of their route was taken out, where they used to go, you know, every year they would drag these elephants all over the country. And then there became fewer and fewer venues for them. And that's what they finally shut down, thank goodness. But there are still small traveling elephant and other animals in little circuses that they try to hide it mm-hmm. from until they don't tell you when it's going to be or where. They just kind of spring up because they know whenever they advertise, they get lots of protesters.
I read a story a long time ago. I wish I could remember it better, but it was an elephant who was attached to somebody who literally raised it. I don't know if it was in Kenya or somewhere. And, you know, the elephant went off. And the elephant, when the person died, that was so good to the elephant that he like sensed it and came back with all other elephants to kind of see him or go.
Yes,
where, have you heard that
story? South Africa. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And a man who was kind to elephants, when he died, hundreds of elephants showed up at his cottage.
Hmm.
To pay their regards. And that's another thing that they do, which could be considered humane to us. They mourn for their dead, and they honor their dead. And when they're walking in the field, if there's an elephant bone shows up, they all stop, and they all touch it, and they have like a moment of silence.
Gee, there must be even more things that we need to learn about the elephants, but you have a good jump start on that. It's really great to talk to you. Where can we get your book?
Well, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, a lot of bookstores. It's it just came out this year, and it's already won 3 literary awards. It won the gold prize in the Book Fest, won gold medal in the Pinnacle Awards, and it won a silver medal in the IPPI Awards, Independent Publishers Association.
Good for you. I picked the right person to call today on our show, Georgia. So,
thank you. Where are you located?
We're in Norwich, Connecticut.
Oh, wow. The other side of the country.
So where do you reside now?
For me. I reside in California.
California. All right, great.
Yeah, Santa Monica.
Any elephants roaming around in California? Or?
Well, we're still trying to get Billy the Elephant out of the L.A. Zoo, and we've been to court a few times, but he's still there. The zookeepers are very proprietary about their elephants, and they don't want to release them, even though it's the best thing for them.
What's the average one?
Go to a sanctuary. They can be with other elephants and have space to roam around.
What's the average longevity of an elephant who's not abused, of course?
Around 70 years, something like that.
Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm glad you're doing good things.
Thank you so much for calling me. I love talking about elephants any day, any time.
All right. Terriers in the Jungle, it's called, and you have a wonderful day.
Yes, you'll like it. Yes, Terriers in the Jungle, I just want to say one more thing about that. It's just for the whole family. It has a lot of info in there about elephants and conservation, but it's really a heartwarming and funny story of these two rescue dogs and their lives together and how they met and what their life was before and then what it was like going to Africa. And people like it. I've gotten all great reviews.
Do you ever feel like going back to Kenya?
I am planning to go back when I raise enough money. I'm going to start a school there because when I was there, I was teaching I worked. I couldn't find a job working directly with elephants, but I had an opportunity to be the environmental director at a rescue group for girls who had been raped and they had babies and they all quit school when that happens, and they're all these rural disadvantaged girls. So I would like to start a school for them, the Elephant Matriarch School for Mothers and Children, to show them that they are matriarchs and they can be leaders in their communities.
So glad to talk with you. Georgia, you're a real special person, and it's been a pleasure, and hope we can talk again.
I hope so. Yes, anytime.
All right, take care.
Thanks for calling me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.